Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, 'cause it's rude.
Welcome to Let's Get To, the baseball podcast from the fans' perspective. Now here's your host, James Christopher.
2-3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome everyone to the first episode of Let's Get To. I'm your host, James Christopher. A little bit about me, I'm the president of the Austin Revolution Film Festival, the number one reviewed film festival on Film Freeway. I'm an independent filmmaker in Austin, Texas. I'm a Pisces, and, well, I'm a huge baseball fan. And I'm going to be honest, the qualifications for me running a baseball podcast come from being a huge baseball fan and a playing career that I could only describe as, well, definitely mediocre to below mediocre. But hey, I got to wear a uniform for 3 years. A person can have a lot of loves in their lives. I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love my grandson. But we only have one first love. And for me, my first love was the Houston Astros. Now, for all of those of you who are listening that aren't Astros fans, don't stop. This is not going to turn into a Houston Astros fan-based podcast. We are going to talk a lot about a lot of other baseball at a lot of other levels. And so even if you aren't a fan of the local Houston Nine, we hope you'll keep listening. Now, the relationship with your baseball team is a lot like any other. There are ups, there are downs, and there's even a period when we really weren't communicating very well. When I first realized what this relationship was going to be like was absolutely 1986. That was the year that Mike Scott threw the no-hitter, the game everybody in Houston says they were at. I thought the Astros were unbeatable. They were the best team to ever play, and nobody would ever beat them because I had never heard of the 1927 Yankees. I had never really heard of the 1986 Mets and found out all about those guys when they came to the Astrodome and ripped the entire city of Houston's heart right out. I remember the first logo change, the blue and gold, which I dug. But like I said, there was a time when we just stopped communicating like we should. And a lot of that came somewhere around 2007, the Astros had lost that World Series in shocking fashion. And it was the beginning of really the real steroid conversation in regards to like Roger Clemens. And Roger Clemens had come to Houston and people referred to him as the face of the Astros. And for me, Biggio and Bagwell were the face of the Astros. And for some reason, I was just kind of done. I just kind of felt detached. And I think a big part of it, as silly as it sounds, they didn't look like my Astros. I always joke with my brother about how for about 10 years, they went and bought a sitcom generic baseball uniform because they were somehow embarrassed of their past of the, you know, the orange tequila sunrise jerseys and those types of things. But I moved past that at about the time they moved out of the National League and into the American League. For as much as it bugged me on paper, the idea that I was supposed to get excited about the Oakland A's or the idea that the Cardinals were no longer coming to town every year and the Cubs, who I just hated. But they brought back the old color scheme. Again, it felt like my team was back. And I remember going to so many games, and particularly one of those 110 loss seasons where they were, you know, $5, you could sit anywhere. It was awful, but I was glad to be home. I felt like I was back. And it felt like no time had passed, like any good friendship. Then 2017 happens. 2017 was an important year for two big reasons. The first and foremost, my grandson Braxton came into the world. I knew that part of that connection with this kid was going to be baseball. And I had talked with his mom about it, talked with his great-grandmother about it, and we had decided, they live in Oregon, that we were going to pass the Astros on to him. And it was just this awesome responsibility and like fun thing to think about that I enrolled him in the Astros buddies about 4 months before he was born. I think I enrolled him maybe 3 weeks after I found out he was on the way. And then in 2017, exactly 1 month to his birth date, the Astros won the World Series for the first time. And it was an emotional experience. And I think it's something about your baseball team, and especially it's your baseball team that, and then they've struggled for so much of your life, or maybe even worse, been so close for so much of your life. But it really, really was just an incredible experience. And like I said, this is not an Astros fan podcast. So much about this podcast, in fact, is based on what it's not going to be. We are not going to be that hot stove podcast that ESPN does. It's not going to be a bunch of people yelling over each other, talking about this stat or that stat, making hot takes that don't make any sense. There are plenty of people to find out there to do that for you. They can do it better, and I just don't have the interest. I'm really, really excited about putting something positive and fun out there. There's too much of the yelling anyway. The other thing it's not going to be is something talking about stats. We're not going to say the word war. We're not going to be discussing which player led your team in ninth inning doubles in the month of August. We're not qualified to do that. We don't have the access to do that. And there are plenty of good people out there doing it. And we're going to talk a little bit about them. Our focus is going to really be on the culture of the game with a focus on the fandom. We're going to spend a lot of time at minor league games, independent league games, college games, collegiate wood bat summer league games. We're going to talk to the people who work on those teams, who really work to keep the game growing. I think what keeps baseball moving, despite all of the drama that surrounded the game, like things like the strike and things like the steroid scandal and things like the collusion back in the 80s, is that baseball's played at all levels in every town, and everybody's got connection to the game, and we really want to explore that. As our podcast evolves, we've got some fun segments planned. We're going to be doing our promotion of the week, and we're going to look at some of the things that, in particular, these minor league teams are doing to bring fans out, because they've got some great promotions going. We'll have a segment called From the Bleachers, which will be our game of the week or our game of the episode. I know some of the teams I'll be seeing this year, I'll be looking at the Fort Myers Miracle and the Tacoma Rainiers and the Columbus Clippers, so stay tuned for that. One of my favorite segments we've got planned is the Stuff About Baseball My Dad Hates. My dad's an older guy, can be a little grumpy, and some of the topics we'll be talking about that he just can't stand, the shift, the designated hitter, and why baseball stadiums carry other beers besides Bud Light. So again, we've got some fun segments planned, and we just hope that you'll stick around and kind of have a nice, relaxing journey through a baseball season with us. Episode 1 is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to meet my two main collaborators. They are serving as story producers and helping us come up with content. And the first is one of the baseball fans that I've known the longest. I'm sure he won't give me any credit for his fandom, but my younger brother, Tim. And, you know, Tim is a fiery baseball fan. He watches baseball the way some people watch football, which for 162 games isn't always the healthiest thing. He's been a baseball fan since he was a kid, and I remember he didn't even know that the name was the Houston Astros for the longest time. He thought it was the Houston Astros Field of Charge, because that was their TV marketing thing at the time. All right, so thanks for joining us, Tim.
Well, thanks for having me. Nobody really appreciates the time and effort I give to the Astros. I appreciate that.
No one does. Like I said, I don't know that I've ever... There are very few people who I know who watch... What did you miss? 8 games last year?
Yeah, it was something like that. Be it radio, TV, or live.
Live.
You know.
Can you, just to put in perspective, what did you pay for your opening day tickets?
Well, it's coming off a World Series, so... you know, as about around $250, I think. And we were above the bullpen. The Astros bullpen. So center field, a little bit right center. About 10 rows up.
10 rows up. Okay.
It's funny. My girlfriend and I got similar tickets, actually better first row above the bullpen. And they were about $40 for a midseason game. And I forgot who we were playing. But yeah.
Just to put in perspective for the audience out there, I think we made it together at about 4 or 5 Stros games last year. Mm-hmm. And I think 100% of the time we sort of missed the days when they lost 100 games so we could, you know, move around.
I remember Dad's complaint being, oh, we won a little series and we're all happy and joyful and talking about it. And then he realizes those ticket prices are going up.
So let me ask you this. Your first baseball memory, like, when did you know this is a sport that I'm into?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I feel like it's growing up in the family we did with the people around us. I feel like it's always been there. So it was never a moment where it's the first memory of baseball. It's always been there. It's falling asleep. I remember falling asleep in Poppy's truck with Milo Hamilton playing in the background. And yeah, that's how I fall asleep with the sultry tones of Holy Toledo. It's always been there.
We're talking about all levels of baseball. And I think a lot of the non-MLB levels are bringing people out. But it does feel like, you know, we're talking about concussions in the NFL, and the NBA is becoming so much about individuals and not teams, that it does feel like baseball is ripe to kind of take back its place.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, and it actually is ripe to take back its place. It's, and I don't think it's anything else but the sport being fun again. Look at, even going back to the Cubs, which...
The audience to know that he just did a full body revulsion when he mentioned the word Cubs.
But the Cubs World Series, that team was having fun.
Yeah.
The Astros, fun. And then the Red Sox this year, that was a fun team to watch. As much as they were a buzzsaw, but they were having a good time. Mookie Betts was having great fun. Well,
I would even say, like, for as much as I hate him, Yasu Puig on the Dodgers, always having fun.
Yeah, always having fun. And I think that's what's interesting about baseball, is that we had a long time where it was about who hits the most home runs, who does this, who does this. Now you have all these teams that are winning championships because the clubhouse is sound and they're having a good time. They're having fun. And I think that's the most important part, because it allows the spectator, the fan, to feel more a part of it, because we're having fun too. And I think that's really important.
I do think, and I know some people's mileage may vary on this, but I think that one of the things that baseball has allowed more of is naturally allowing the personalities of players to come forward. And, you know, like in Houston, which I know it irritated 29 other teams, but the dugout stare, right? Like,
yeah.
Alex Bregman, of course, if he played for anybody else, I'd probably hate him.
I'm going to try to get Maddie and I do wedding photos at our dugout stairs.
I'm into it. So you heard it here first. All fives of the people that are listening there are coming to the wedding. We're all doing a dugout stare. Well, who do you think taught you the game?
And again, I think it taught me the game. It was between, I mean, not to be self-promoting, and I don't think you want me to do this, but it was partly you. It was you and Poppy. Poppy, and that's who I went with in the beginning, and as a youngster, and learning how to chart the game and how to keep score and everything was always Poppy and you. And even you gave me that refresher for Mother's Day, which the blow by pitch.
Yeah.
The strikeout. But that's who taught me the game. And I also, I can't be here and not give credit to the, I wasn't good. I went to one junior high tryout, I think in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And I could hit. I wasn't good at fielding. I wasn't the guy to sit around. Because
yeah. I couldn't hit.
I could hit like crazy, man. I could field anything. Yeah.
Like, I could drive.
Five-tool player right here if we were merged.
Yeah, I remember actually making contact my eighth grade year at St. Ambrose and crying to first base going, why can't I run? So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
But I couldn't be with some of my best friends. You know, Jared and Mike, they grew up in baseball. They grew up at 3 years old, they were playing baseball. And they grew up in the Inwood Club and which is a little club around Houston. But they grew up in there, and their love of the game always helped me, and I was kind of felt like, well, there's a place for me here because, you know what, this is a cool game that allows nerdier people, so I can keep all track of the stats. That's why I learned the game. I learned the game from several different people, from everybody. You and Poppy and my friends and Dad, I learned how to angstily hate things. And it's, I love you, Dad, but that's
our dad's going to be a running theme on this podcast.
Sorry.
And I talked to him the other day, too. He's coming up with a list of other things he hates.
Nice.
So he can add to the content.
It makes sense. It's always interesting.
But you know, it's funny. One of the things that struck me, and I'm also going to give a shout out to, because of someone who we haven't mentioned, but our mom.
Huge baseball fan.
Huge baseball fan. And I don't know why it wasn't apparent. We took my mom to the Astros game for Mother's Day. And Tim and I are kind of, sometimes our plan is to buy bad seats and we just sort of move around the park and we check out all the vantage points. And let's be honest, we're sometimes going from bar to bar.
Well, you only find a few that sells dome foam. So.
That's right. Only a few sell dome foam and only one till the ninth inning. So, but yes. I remember mom being like, hey, can we just stop and watch the game for a little bit longer? And I knew intellectually that she was into it, but I forgot how into the game she was. And so, you know, my first baseball memory really, and we're going to get to yours in a second, was us losing the 86 World Series. I'm not sorry, the National League should have been the World Series that we would have won because of the Buckner play. But her having to like just soothe me intellectually because I was like, oh, we don't get to play anymore. So I got to give a shout out to really my mom, my dad, and our grandfather, I think. Well, what is your favorite baseball memory? Or, you know,
my favorite baseball memory? So doesn't mean my first is, like I said, it's hard to pin down a first because you don't have, like, just growing up now, you have so many. And it could be falling asleep in the back of the Bronco, listening to Myles Hamilton, and just being that soothing voice to me. But my favorite opening weekend, it was a weekend of Minute Maid Park.
Oh, right.
Jimmy was in the military at this point, and we were very stoked about the new park. We hadn't gone. And I think it was opening weekend.
Yeah, we were there, so it was an opening day, because I think it opened on Tuesday, but we went the first Saturday, I think, that it was open. So it was 4 days old when we walked in.
Yep. My favorite memory, we went around, we did the whole tour of the park and everything. We got nosebleeds, because that's what we do, and we quickly realized there's really no bad spot in this park. It's a beautiful park, but it was the moment that, and I'm a guitar player, so I'm really especially that point in my life, really into metal. But Metallica starts playing,
right?
And Billy Wagner comes out of the bullpen, and I'm like, oh, this guy's about to do some stuff. And I got really excited. That's probably my favorite baseball memory of all time. I just, you know, and from that on, that was a Billy Wagner guy. He was my guy, you know?
Yeah. I remember that game for two reasons, though. I remember one, that was the first time I was old enough to buy alcohol at a game.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe I paid $8 for a Miller Lite.
We took a picture. We still have a picture somewhere of you buying from the guy you bought the beer from.
Yeah, that's right. I was so excited. And that was when, remember, the girl got hit in the head.
Yes.
And they ended up putting it in the movie Fever Pitch. Yes. Like, she took a line drive off the head, and her boyfriend caught the ball, and she's just, like, slumped over there and drooling.
This is before safety nets, when you had to pay attention when you're watching a baseball game.
Yeah, when you had to – before cell phones.
Before cell phones.
And welcome to the Old Man on Baseball podcast.
Exactly. So back in my day, Ty Cobb.
To me, it's cheesy to say anything in 2017 because it's the most recent, but I'll never forget two things. I was in the Nightmares Film Festival when the Astros clinched and beat the Yankees. And I remember one – like, a lot of these filmmakers, they're not sports guys. They don't care, but they care about me. And so they were grabbing my Astros hat, and they were, like, wearing it, and we were celebrating. But before we had even clinched, I couldn't pay attention and do my job at the festival. And so my friend Jason Buterin and Jessica took my phone. And all they would do – I'm getting teary-eyed thinking about this. All they would do was give me thumbs up, which meant the game was – like, I knew the Astros were ahead, so it was thumbs up. And it turns out it was McCullers, who was unhittable – shout out to Lance McCullers. Yeah. So it didn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But they're giving me thumbs up. And so I'd go back to talking. And then I had a few drinks, and I turned around, and Jessica's in front of me, and she gave me a, like, we're going to make a baby kiss, and said, the Astros are going to the World Series. And I immediately erupted in tears. My friends are putting hats on. Mm-hmm. And then I called you, and I called Dad from the stairwell of this movie theater where our film was playing. And it was... Again, it's lame to say one of the most recent, but to me that moment was better than even the World Series win.
That was an important moment. I remember getting the phone call from you. I had the next day off. I was taking vacation time left and right during that. But I had the day off, and I was just letting it happen. Because if we won that game and we lost that game, somebody was drinking beers, and his name was Tim. So you called me, and I just remember just crying.
Yeah.
I had to go outside the bar because I just bawled. Because... 2005 was a team that I expected to have been there.
Yeah.
At some point, you know what I mean? How good we were. But I'm not saying the 2017 came out of nowhere, but they were so young and so it was fun.
They didn't even know where they were.
Exactly.
I think, which is a big reason why they won. Like, they didn't.
They
understand.
Were having fun.
Well, yeah. Back to your point, they were having a good time, and it was a fun team to root for. Like, mm-hmm. obviously Jose Altuve and kind of my favorite Astro of this new bunch is George Springer, and just like
mine too.
Remember, everybody in Houston wanted him, move him to seventh or eighth in the lineup. And then he erupts.
Yeah.
But
we're not an Astros podcast.
So. We're not an Astros. Yeah. So. And I'll keep reminding the fans, like, really, we just want you to know about us, and like we love the game.
Yeah.
So this is a place for you to love the game, and we're gonna have so many people on who have these exact same stories about the Cardinals or the Yankees. What about the best game you ever saw live?
I went the day after Mike Fiers' no-no in 2016.
Uh-huh.
This is probably the best seats. Maybe that's the question. I don't know. Yeah, it was the best game I saw live because of the best seats. It was also Craig Biggio's Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, wow.
And I sat on the dugout. The security person had to tell me to get my beer off the dugout 8 times. That's how close I was. I was giving
Hinch... We almost made this podcast 8 times for that moment, yeah.
I gave Hinch some advice. I'm pretty sure that's why I won the World Series next year.
I think so. But, where's your ring?
Yeah, exactly. Where is my ring, Crane? I think that was probably my favorite game. But there's so many great memories in that park and in the other park, you know? Two of my best friends, Jared and Mafe, we go to opening day every year. And I'll tell you, in March or April, that's my favorite game I've ever gone to because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, even the 100 game losses, this is, you know, it's your team and Yankees fans and Cubs fans and all those guys. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's just, it's a start, you know, and that's a great time.
Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking about that for my favorite games, and both of them are Longhorn games. You know, we're going to talk a lot about college baseball on this and try to help people fall in love with the Ping, baby. But
man, so much fun.
A little bit about me. So after I got out of the military, I kind of thought that the days of going to a school like the University of Texas were over. And I went to UTSA for a year, and then I just transferred. So my first ever sporting event as a Longhorn was the Super Regional game on the year, one of the years they went to the College World Series. And I remember standing there with like Taylor, our friend Taylor Bentley and Jessica and stuff. And it just being like, for the first time, seeing the eyes of Texas as a Longhorn and all of that stuff. But then I remember a couple years into it, I'm still a student. And my buddy Jeff Hahn and I, like on a whim, went to a Tuesday game. And we saw, I think it was Austin Wood, throw a no-hitter. So I was at a college no-hitter, which was just supremely cool. Against OU. I still have the hat where I wrote the score.
This game is fun. It's just fun. It makes you feel better. You're having trouble at work, watch a ball game. That's what it comes down to.
I think that one of the things that I think helps baseball is it's played at all levels in all towns.
Yes.
You know, so one of the teams that I'm going to be going to visit that I know that your girlfriend has gone to see is the Brazos Valley Bombers, right? They're a collegiate wood bat league. I'm going to be going out there.
And on it's fun. You mentioned on all levels because, you know, Maddie has a son that I'm very proud to call, you know, hope of my future stepson and everything. But like, I'm excited about him getting into baseball.
Yeah.
And you know, every year he's getting closer and closer. He watches more and more of the game with me and stuff like that. But one day he wants to throw the ball and he likes doing that stuff. But that's the thing that's great about baseball is it's hard for him to go and put pads on and go hit somebody. I mean, we grew up doing that, and look at us now. But but baseball, he's able to just kind of just toss around. He's able to work on his from his outfield throw with my dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just got to get his arm ready. And that's just great.
Same thing with my grandson. Like, Braxton's got tickets now to see the Astros twice. He's going to be going to the Astros in Seattle and when they're here. So I do think that maybe makes the game matter. Like, the fact that we won the World Series the same year he was born.
It's huge.
He doesn't. Although now I'm, like, entitled. He doesn't know what it's like to live through what we live through.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. He's never known a losing Astros team.
Right. So when I say, hey, pitchers and catchers are reporting today, what do you think?
Everything's going to be all right. It's kind of like that feeling. It's exciting because, as you mentioned in the beginning, I do get geared up for baseball season, and I just go. I kind of plan my year around it. I'm excited. Pitchers and catchers reporting is one of the best times that you have. It's better than preseason because you really can see who you have, not only as your starting 25, but in the minor leagues
too. Because baseball is always about the future too, right?
Yeah,
just wait till next year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, you know, I mean, I feel like a lot of these clubs that are having fun that I mentioned before. Have it. That's where it's really fun to watch them because, like, man, you know, those Cubbies are good, but that minor league is real good, or the Brewers minor league is outstanding.
It's outstanding, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So that's where it's a lot of fun to watch, too. Honestly, I feel like ESPN should not waste their time on a bunch of other stuff and put a ESPN minor league ball and just have ball minor league ball on TV.
I agree.
That'd be awesome.
I would love that. I do think it's funny, like, because with baseball, you talk about pitchers and catchers. And George Carlin used to do this a bit about the difference between baseball and football. And I think this comes to it, right, where it's like pitchers and catchers, there's a romanticism to it versus training camp.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, we're all showing up except for the veterans who paid millions of dollars.
So again, like a lot of this podcast is going to be about the culture around the game as much as anything. So Tim, throw me your top 5 baseball movies.
First of all, I want to say tied for six is every baseball movie because that's a cop out. I understand, but man, I watch them all. My Blu-ray collection is too ridiculous to just. I have Million Dollar Arm in there, and I watch that every once. The one with
Million Dollar Arm is good.
It's a good movie, but you know, so like, but my top five. So number five is coming at you. Number five is a movie that I've always loved because I've always had this kind of heroic aura around Shoeless Joe.
Okay.
And 8 Men Out is
wow. Okay, it's a great choice. There.
Great movie. I don't watch it right now. I'll watch it closer to the season.
Okay. Okay.
So that's number five is 8 Men Out, and it's just I always have to watch it. It's a great movie. The cast is amazing. It's a well put together movie. Number four, I have For the Love of the Game, and it. For the Love of the Game. And it might be because of how lame it is that he clears the mechanism. But I want every professional pitcher or minor league pitcher to sit down and clear the mechanism before they throw the ball.
Let me explain a little bit of this. Our next guest is going to be the other creator of this podcast. He was a former minor league pitcher, and he thinks that's stupid. But let me just tell you, Tim. I got For the Love of the Game on number six. So he loses.
But yeah, no, For the Love of the Game. It's a cool like romantic story. It's got a later Garth Brooks song in it, so it's really cool.
I think that was actually Chris Gaines.
It was Chris Gaines. Oh, it wasn't even Garth Brooks, guys. Okay. It was Chris Gaines. At number three, I'm going to go Moneyball.
Okay.
Newer movie, but it's still... But the way they tempoed that movie... The way it paced it, it's amazing. It's brilliant.
When I teach my film classes, I teach that in my editing class because here's a movie with almost no baseball in it.
Yeah.
That's a great baseball movie. What I love about the movie is it deconstructs the game. It starts out by saying this game is a business, and then it ends where we are of being, no, it's romantic. You know what it is? Like for me, what I like about baseball, maybe it's just where I'm at in my life. I love that when your player gets a base hit, the other team's patting them on the butt, congratulate. I like the fact that it's nice.
Yes, it is.
And
nice.
In base,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And in Moneyball, that moment when the fat catcher didn't know he hit the home run and the other team is doing as much, congratulations.
Yes.
It's sweet, it's beautiful, and I love it.
Number two. Okay, now this is going to be different. I don't know how you guys feel about this, and it is a Yankee movie.
What?
What? I love Yankee Tears, guys. Don't get me wrong. All Yankees fans will love this one. It's a little ditty directed by Billy Crystal about Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle.
Oh, so good.
61 is probably one of the best baseball movies out there. And that's I can watch it every year. It took me a long time to find the Blu-ray of it because it's an HBO release. So It's really hard to find the Blu-ray. But when I finally did, I just love the movie. I love the competition. Okay, so number one. And this is probably another cop-out. I'm sure that we'll have comments about, oh, come on, it's so lame. It's Field of Dreams. That movie is...
I'm sitting here shocked.
We're talking about how this podcast, we want to be about fans and fanship and everything like that. This movie tells you what it is to be a fan of baseball. And whether it's about your father and yourself never having a catch or anything, but being a pure fan of the game is what that movie is about.
Field of Dreams is a strong move. I taught the class in my cinema baseball class, and I told my students I'm going to need about 5 minutes at the end of the movie before I have to do any kind of leading a discussion.
Every time.
Okay, so now let me give you my top
five.
Yeah,
let's go to your top five.
And then after that, we're going to go to our other co-creator.
Yeah.
Scott McIntyre is going to be
who
joining me.
He does not like For Love of the Game.
He does not like For Love of the Game. But and then we did an interesting social media experiment that we'll talk about. And so... My top five. Number five for me is Moneyball. Number four, and this is where we might lose some listeners, and I'm okay with that. But you talked about Field of Dreams being about the fan. To me, it's the movie Fever Pitch for me. I get it. It's a cheesy romantic comedy with Jimmy Fallon, who I normally can't stand.
No, it's a great movie because it is about the fan. It is about fan.
From a film production perspective, because again, Scott and I are both filmmakers and Tim's a musician, so we all come from this like creative thing. The idea that they were shooting that movie and wrapped the World Series into it while they were going from a production standpoint is awesome.
But you got to think from a Red Sox fan standpoint. So let's just say somebody made a movie from the Astros doing that. We're all over that. That's our number one movie of all time.
Yeah, it's better than The Godfather.
Exactly. So no, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I love the Will You Go to Opening Day with Me Mm-hmm. You know, and I've got movies on my list that people hate. Like, I think, like, I have the movie Summer Catch in my top 10.
Good movie. Good
but,
movie.
So, you know, but I definitely have Fever Pitch at number 4. Now, I know that when I talk to Scott in a minute, he and I are going to fight because I have Bull Durham at 3.
Oh, the argument, the poll.
The argument is coming because I knew this was coming. So, yeah, I love Bull Durham. I think it's quotable. And I think it was the first baseball movie I think I remember seeing. This was before you were born. Mm-hmm. And we were, me and mom and dad and Dennis, I think had gone like Corpus Christi or something. And it was on in the hotel. And dad's like, it's a baseball movie. Let's put it on. And of course, the movie is so sexual.
Yeah.
And I can remember, I vividly remember mom and dad playing this game of, do we just like let it play or do we make it awkward, turn it off? You know, like that thing. So
we're in our 30s and they still do that.
Yeah, that's true. Number 2, I have Field of Dreams for the same reasons you said. And, you know, for me, I have Major League number 1. And I get it. It's a cartoon. But I think the thing that broke me down for it was movie, right?
Right.
And I think that Major League is so cinematic. And I remember the theater going nuts when Ricky Vaughn comes out from the outfield wall with Wild Thing playing. So to me, that cinematic element.
I still do it.
Yeah, right. Kind of made it. So that's my top 5. I'll have the rest of it posted. And now we're going to go to the phone, Mr. Scott McIntyre.
On deck, the Let's Get To interview of the week.
So we're excited on the very first episode of Let's Get to welcome one of the show's creators. He is the story producer of the show. He's going to be a regular appearance on the show. A little bit about this guy. He is a multi-award winning filmmaker, a former professional ball player, a brand new dad, and a heck of a nice guy. Please welcome Scott McIntyre.
I'm waiting for the crowd to roar. My goodness, that's the best introduction I've ever had, man. Thank you.
You should pay me to follow you around, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it.
Let's work that out after the show. We can work out a wage. No problem.
So just a little bit of background about us for the audience, since they're going to be hearing from you throughout the whole season, and I always think it's important to know who you're talking to. You and I have known each other how long?
5, 6, 7 years, somewhere around there. Multiple years, for sure.
Yeah, and most of our relationship was in the context of empty ballrooms with bottles of whiskey.
Yeah, that's definitely where it started, is meeting rooms of hotels after festivals.
After film festivals, exactly. And I feel like it's interesting that in all of those times, baseball never came up.
Yeah, you know, I think that's because a lot of times with film festivals, there's more of the art of the film that gets discussed. And a lot of people, you know, the sports doesn't really come up a lot at a film festival, yet some of the best films we are seeing are sports related. So I found it very interesting, and I'll let you tell the story about how we came along to discover our love for baseball and trips that we've made that have intercepted film festivals.
As I recall, we've talked about playing hooky multiple times at festivals. Enrolling to ballparks, and I remember just being, because I really knew nothing about your history with the game, that you played competitively for a lot longer. You know, there's a line in Moneyball where it says, at some point we got to put down the child's game, and I put it down my freshman year of high school. You put it down much later, but I remember, you know, we had snuck off to see the Tulsa Drillers at Bare Bones, and I remember sitting with you, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a slider. And I was like, I mean, any idiot can guess what the pitch was. And then it was. And it was just like, so then it's like sort of fascinating just how into the game you were. And it's a game I love very much. So it was definitely a pleasant surprise for me. Almost a port in the storm in a way. Because I do feel like not only in our industry does no one talk about sports. I'm not sure that a lot of them really like sports.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And going back to the Tulsa game, that was a blast. To sit with you there, to, you know, get a dog, grab a beer, wander around a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, shout out to the Tulsa Drillers, man. That was a great park.
Yeah, man, it really was. And what was it? They were playing two, which is perfect for Let's Get To, but they were playing two on a Friday afternoon, was it? It was like a 4:30 start or something.
Yeah.
It felt like 192 degrees or something like that.
It did, and we had the screening to get to, and we were late.
Yeah, darn.
But we saw a walk-off win, right? It was great. It couldn't get any better.
It was our first time together was amazing. It was an experience.
I'll never forget it. So let me ask you this: like, when did you know that you had fallen in love with this game?
My dad was absolutely the driving force behind me playing baseball for as long as I did, because on the days that I did not want to practice, my dad had me. We had a large field behind our house. My dad built with his hands, built a little bit of a backstop, and he would catch me and throw pitches and have me hit to it. So somewhere through there, I fell in love with it. Baseball wasn't the girl that I looked at as a child and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna marry Winnie Cooper."
Okay.
It was more just gradually. I didn't want to be away from it for very long, and I always looked forward to spring and summer and knowing, okay, well, you know, it's baseball season coming up. It's baseball season coming up.
I think it's one of the things that it's interesting about baseball that I kind of never really occurred to me until you said that, is the fact that when baseball season starts, it's baseball season for 6 months.
I always find it funny that people get excited about pitchers and catchers reporting, but college baseball practice is happening right now. There are people playing the game right now.
Man, I'm so glad you brought up college too, because I think that's one of the things I'm hoping that the people, you know, the fives of people who listen to this podcast when it starts, I hope they fall in love with the ping. And it's something I've been struggling with my father to, like, you know, it's college baseball is beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a different game than a lot of people remember it from the 80s, because the aluminum bat has been changed to composite bat. So there is still the ping and not the crack, but there's not this juiced up ping like there used to be. You know, I remember Pete Cavilla in the mid 80s in Oklahoma.
Current manager of the Sugarland Skeeters, by the way. How about that for some knowledge?
Well, we tag teamed that one because I didn't know that. But Incavilio was hitting these 500-foot, just these bombs. And it was dangerous at the college level. You were having these rockets sent back at the pitcher, you know, coming 140, 150 miles per hour. And it was exciting. But when people would talk about, well, should we move aluminum bats to the major league game? No, somebody would get killed.
Yeah.
Especially when they were roiding up. But moving to the composite bat, it's changed the way the game has to be played. The game has to be played more. I think it has to be played more of a traditional baseball, small ball, move guys around the infield, bunt them over, get somebody to second on a sacrifice, and hope you get a ground ball through the infield. I think there's a lot more than that, rather than just walk a guy and swing for the fences.
Yeah, it's more Augie Garrido-style baseball for the Longhorn fans out there, where, you know, like the Astros used to play when they played in the Dome, like you would get guys over and work and manufacture a run.
It's more Dave Van Horn-style baseball for those Arkansas fans who remember that we were national runners-up last year.
Congratulations to the Arkansas. And my hope is, you think I'm going to run at you, but I know what happened. I saw it. I watched that game. You're not going to hear me.
I don't know if I'll ever get over that felt, that pop-up falling in between those three guys in the Bermuda Triangle. You know that the Hogs play the Longhorns in two games in March. They're in Austin.
Yeah, I know that I'm going. I've already put it on my calendar. My first game of the season will be at Sam Houston State at the end of February. I'm speaking at a film festival down there, and so I'm going to run out and kind of do that. But back to you. So
yeah. So when I played high school, I wasn't a pitcher because we had an incredible pitching staff when I was in high school. And in high school is when my love for acting and drama and my love for baseball kind of when my acting, from my love for acting and my love for baseball collided with one another. So my junior year, I hit like 390, a bunch of singles. I was in left field. I was their starting left fielder by the end of the year. But our main pitcher went on to pitch at the University of Arkansas. Another guy was a four-year college pitcher, and another guy was a JUCO pitcher. There was no room. You know, I might pitch a JV game, and that was about it. It also hurt me in high school because I had skipped first grade. So I was physically a year younger than everyone else in my grade. I also was a late bloomer. You know, I was 5'1" whenever I started high school. Yeah, much different than now because I'm around 6'2", 6'3". So it was hard to get going in high school. I got going with American Legion, kind of fell in and out of that because here's these opportunities to act and here's all of this, and I want to go to college to be a theater major. After about a year, I realized I didn't like that. I went back to baseball at Arkansas Tech. I hurt my elbow while I was there, and I never really got off the ground, and I kind of put it behind me for a little while. Later on, in professional career, working in IT, it took me overseas where I was fortunate enough to latch on with a team in Poland. I've told you the story many times. I tell it to other people. I wasn't good enough to play in North America because I didn't know my elbow was healthy. I wasn't good enough to play in Japan. I wasn't good enough to play in South America. But, you know, somehow or another, I found my way to Eastern Europe to play baseball. I played there until I was 33 years old. My shoulder was hurting now. I don't know what happened to make my elbow better over that period of time other than just rest. But then the shoulder gets to hurting, and I'll be the first person to tell you that I absolutely roided up my last year. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I took the needle into my shoulder so I could comb my hair. That's how I wound up to Poland. You know, I played a little bit while I was in the States between college and, you know, being 28, 29 years old in Warsaw, but it was a blast, and it reaffirmed my love for the game. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed playing until I got over there and was fortunate enough to coach and play with a bunch of guys that didn't grow up with the game. You know, it's not the national sport in Poland. They found it, and you're playing in extremely cold conditions. You know, we played mid-October was the Polish Championships. Well, man, it was 28 degrees and sleeting the last game I pitched. You just love it. You find a way, and you absolutely love it. That experience reignited my love for the game that still absolutely exists today.
Well, do you have a favorite, or a first, or a favorite baseball memory?
Yeah. So for me, there are first baseball memory I really have. There's two. There's growing up, because I'm 47. I was born in 71. I remember in the mid-70s watching the NBC Game of the Week, because there were only three channels, and Tony Kubek and Joe Garagiola calling those games, whether it was the Dodgers and the Cardinals or it was the Yankees and the Bo Sox. There was somebody that was on, and I looked forward to noon, 1 o'clock, whatever it was. Tony Kubek and Joe Garagiola were coming on the screen. I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas also, so my other memory was I had been to my first baseball practice, and I had been hit in the mouth with a baseball. I had to get stitches, and my dad made me go back to practice, by the way, which is just incredible. I owe all my ethic to my dad. But the next night or so, with stitches in my lip, he took me to an Arkansas Travelers Tulsa Drillers game in Little Rock, and the first baseman, I figured out later, let a ball get past him on the infield throw around, and he just walked over and tossed it to me, sitting in the front row along the first base side. So here's this, you know, 6-year-old kid with stitches in his lip, who gets handed a baseball by, I have no idea what the guy's name was. He was playing first base for the Drillers in 77. That's a pretty cool memory, right? That's what you do.
So, you know, I think, again, it's important to get to know you and know your biases. So what Major League Baseball team breaks your heart and makes you whole again? That's my artistic way of saying, what team do you root for?
Yeah, and that's a great way of putting it. I live just outside of St. Louis, and I'm a Cardinals fan through and through, which is amazing to me. I love the Cardinals. You love the Astros. I love the Arkansas Razorbacks. You love the Texas Longhorns. Yet somehow we're able to bridge the gap and have a civil conversation.
Sometimes it's civil. What do you feel in the cockles of your heart when you hear that pitchers and catchers are reporting?
I start grinning because I also get a little nervous because I think about all the guys that are on the 40-man roster, all the rookies that don't know whether they're going to spend the year in Memphis, or they're going to spend it in St. Louis, or if they're going to be in Pawtucket, or they're going to be in Boston, or Round Rock, or Houston. You know, there's so many different things that happen out of spring training. Guy, you know, we think a lot about, oh, well, you know, we're going to see who solidifies themselves as the number two starter in the rotation. But meanwhile, also in spring training, there's an 18-year-old kid from the Dominican Republic who's hoping to latch on and go to a single-A ball or rookie ball. That's also the stuff I think about. There are guys out there, you know, there's no guaranteed salary in baseball, right? And that's another thing I love about it. If you're straight out of college, well, cool. That's great. Now we're going to send you to the middle of nowhere in Vermont and or whatever state, pick your state, North Carolina, wherever, to play single A ball.
So what are your top five, starting from number five up to number one, baseball movies?
I would say number five for me is Major League, because it's fun. Major League is a fun film. It's either Major League or a movie called Long Gone. Long Gone can be watched in very low quality on YouTube right now. It was an HBO movie, but it came out in 1987. It has a very young Dermot Mulroney in it and Virginia Madsen, but it's got a great story. It's free to watch. So if you want to go out on YouTube and you can suffer through the low quality of the movie, it's called Long Gone. It's very good.
You have Major League at five?
Yeah. It's there. I think from a fan's perspective, Major League is fun to watch. I think it's very entertaining. Give them the heater, Ricky. Everybody knows that line. That's at a baseball game. Just ask them, because you'll hear about 15 people scream it every game. For me, number four is Moneyball, because I think it takes people behind the scenes to really show an area of the game that nobody really follows. You know, Bill James' sabermetrics has changed the game of baseball. It truly has. And I think it's... I think it's spot on. I think it's opening up a new era. I think Moneyball's incredible. And number three, I do put Sugar there because it takes somebody – for me, I experienced baseball in a foreign country where my language wasn't the first language. And so Sugar really touches me in that realm, because here's a guy that only speaks Spanish that has to come to the States, and Iowa with its cornfields looks nothing like the Dominican Republic. You don't have to travel a lot to know that. It has a great story and what people have to go through. Number two for me is The Sandlot, because as a kid, that's what we did, man. We ran around. There was a beast somewhere. There was a dog that we were all scared of that we thought was, you know, 9 feet tall and weighed 500 pounds. And The Sandlot also teaches you more about the history of the game. It shows somebody who didn't have the athletic skills to be a great ball player, but he still had enough knowledge and enough love for the game to be somebody in the game of baseball. You know, he winds up being a writer in the end. And number one for me, and it will be hard to ever knock it off, and you know this, is Bull Durham. When Crash Davis shows up on the scene and here's this seasoned guy who has been around for a long time, and the first time we see Kevin Costner's character, you've got to be kidding me. You're pulling me down to the Bush Leagues to babysit this guy? Forget it, I'm out of here. But the love of the game pulls him back in.
Yeah.
And so he has to hold on. He has to stay around for this guy. He knows his job, his role, is to help somebody else out. And that person needs a lot of help to begin with. So from an insider's knowledge, it's absolutely true about the things that happen, whether the bus rides and playing hot foot with somebody in the dugout, whether it's turning the sprinklers on and getting yourself a rain out. That, man, Bull Durham is just spot on from the inside. So what's your top five?
You know, my top five, I actually mentioned earlier in the podcast, so I won't bore the audience with it again. But my number one's Major League, and I'm shocked that Bull Durham is your one. And here,
two different views. We do,
but here, let me just take it from, I think that there is a difference. I think that we have to, are we talking about a baseball movie or a baseball movie? And I think that essentially Bull Durham is a sex romp that could have basically been set in just about any other industry. Like, you just mentioned it yourself. Like, you sort of trolled the fact that people will yell, "Forget the curveball, Ricky, go to the heater." But there are some iconic baseball moments that even non-baseball people like. I think the scene where Ricky comes out of the outfield wall with Wild Thing playing, wholly unrealistic as it is completely an iconic cinematic moment. And while I love a lot of the jokes in Bull Durham, it doesn't have that heroic baseball moment in the movie.
Yeah, but I think it does. It, as far as lines go, Bull Durham matches it because anything that flies that far ought to have a stewardess on it.
Oh, the dialogue is great in Bull Durham.
You know, somebody gives up a home run, and it's like, well, held it like an egg, yeah, and he scrambled it.
He scrambled that son of a bitch or whatever it was, yeah.
You know, I think there's more to Bull Durham than just a sex romp. I get that. I think with Bull Durham, there's so much more of a story. There is interaction between these guys. There's this brotherhood that forms between these two guys.
And here's the thing. I'm not arguing the merits of – because I have it number three on my list, right? So it's not like I think it sucks. But when I'm sitting here going, what jacks me up the most about baseball, to me, I mean, I feel like the iconic crux of the climax of the movie is winning a baseball game. It's not the 7-minute sex montage with Susan Sarandon.
So for me, we have two different lenses looking at this. One, I think with Bull Durham, it's if you lived it on the inside, most of the guys that I know that played the game think that Bull Durham is amazing because it captures the essence of it. While Major League is entertaining, it's very entertaining, and it does. Major League looks at things from more of a fan's perspective, I believe, where Bull Durham is looking at it from more of the inside. I don't want to take anything away from Major League. There's great moments on there, but you know, Willie Mays Hayes waking up in a bed and running out in his pajamas and stealing second base is like, okay, those are fun movie moments. I get it. But at the same time, I can get us a rain out. $50 says I can get us. $100 says I can get us a rain out. Is amazing as well for Bull Durham. It definitely has, to me, it has its moments. But I can understand why people would choose something else. That's a great thing about these movies. Now, what I'm really curious about, if I know that Major League is your number one, Bull Durham is your number three. What's your number two? Just remind me, because
it's Field of Dreams, and I know it's an easy choice, but. My dad and I are, it's so weird people that know me when I describe myself this way, but my dad and I are kind of alpha male-ish. He's a long police officer. I was in the military with a combat arms job. And so there have been times in our life where the only thing we can talk about is the Strohs, you know, and he never calls them the Astros. It's always the Strohs, you know, and so I think that there is that part and, you know, it's funny to me because a lot of generation, I showed it to my film students, and I don't know that the generation that's watching it in high school now are old enough to really understand why it matters. But, you know, the dad, can we have a catch? I would drive 3 hours to Houston right now to have a catch. So I think that's a big part of why. That's number two for me.
It's an amazing film. Yeah. I can also look at Field of Dreams, where you kind of make the argument about Bull Durham being a sex romp that has baseball involved. Field of Dreams is a bit of a supernatural experience with family implications.
I think that your point about Bull Durham is definitely somebody would be way into Rambo, but I would be way more into like Hamburger Hill. Yeah, I watch Major League and it's escapist. I'm not watching you reflect a moment in time, whereas you're watching Bull Durham and reflecting on a moment in time.
Left out Pride of the Yankees, but
oh yeah,
I mean, how, you know, we can go way back, and there's so many great baseball movies that have, and I'm sure that people listening to this are thinking of some things that we're not saying right now, saying, well, they're idiots, they forgot about this.
And if so, comment on the Facebook page if we want to hear them.
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe we should run a poll on the Facebook page of what other people have for a favorite baseball movie. You know, I do want to jump in also, and this may be off topic of where we're going, but I know both of us have a love for minor league baseball as well. And since I have lived just outside of St. Louis for the last couple of years, I've discovered the Frontier League, an independent league. These are guys that aren't attached to any other team. Maybe they fell out of favor with somebody. Most of them, you know, at most they've ever made it to Double A. Incredible competitive baseball in the Frontier League. And there's so many leagues like that around. And, you know, we're talking about the story creation or this podcast creation and you and I talking. That's one of the things we really hope to be able to do here. And I just want to mention that is get inside on some of the guts on things that people don't have experience with and see things of that aren't at a major league level. You know, there's not a fireworks show going on afterwards or something. The River City Rascals, which are nearby me in the Frontier League, man, there's RC Cola. I mean, things like that. I want to know, you know, how they got that deal, why the field is here, what's going on inside the front office. Some of these promotions that the minor league teams run are amazing. And some of their caps are amazing, as you, anybody that knows you or anybody that's near your Facebook page knows, Wall O Caps. So it's incredible.
I will say this, for those of you that stumbled on, and like I said in my intro at the podcast, like, if you think this is where you're going to hear about war or who led the Yankees in ninth inning doubles in the mole in the month of August when he had a pimple on his left butt cheek, this is not the podcast for you. The majority of our focus is going to be on the culture of the game and really focusing on levels of baseball that aren't Major League Baseball. Like, I really want to, like you said, the Skeeters. I'm going to get up to a River City Rascals. I'm wearing the hat right now while we do this podcast. So I'll tweet a photo out in a minute. So yeah, it is my focus to show people that I think one of the reasons why this game matters is because you don't have to fight your way to a stadium of 100,000 people to see it. You don't have to pay $150 to get a ticket to see a game on Sunday. You can go to the Sugar Land Skeeters or the River City Rascals, or I'll be checking out the Brazos Valley Bombers in the Collegiate Woodbat League this year, and see good baseball. And so I'm glad you said that, because that's really what's important to me.
I don't think that everyone realizes that the level of play between Double A and the major leagues, it's not that different. You know, a lot of times the guys at Double A are going to make the major leagues. They haven't done it yet. You've got your younger guys that are on the way up that are learning the game and learning how to travel, learning how to be on the road, learning how not to drink on a bender until 3 o'clock in the morning, get yourself to bed at a decent time, and not be an idiot, for lack of a better term. Triple A baseball is almost every bit as good as Major League Baseball. Triple A games are incredible, and the talent that happens at Triple A are fractions. You know, people don't realize that the difference between getting in the majors is like a base hit a week. It's a base hit a week, maybe a gapper per week, a ground ball through the infield, a flare that falls out in the middle of nowhere. For a pitcher, it's the difference of, you know, the second baseman having more range and being able to get to a ground ball.
Sure.
The outfielder having a stronger arm. It's fractions, man. It is so close. And it's movement on a fastball. Not everybody's going to throw 100 miles per hour, but if that guy can get some sink and he can get a ground ball, you know, an eighth of an inch off the bat can be the difference between a line drive into the gap and a ground ball routine to the shortstop.
So, you know, as we talk and you and I plan stories, we really want to reach out to these clubs that and see if they want to come on and talk about it. And I think on that, I'm so excited, Scott, and I look forward to kind of just continue to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Hey, Beth, let's get pitchers and catchers in. Let's get to.
Now we're back with Tim and I to wrap things up. But we did do a social media poll to pick between Bull Durham and Major League, and Tim has those results.
Okay, so the results are in. So Major League wins by a hair.
By a Ricky Vaughn fastball.
Ricky Vaughn fastball.
So you're saying Ricky Vaughn strikes out Crash Davis?
I'd say that, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 50.4 for Major League, 49.6 for Bull Durham. It's crazy. Both classic baseball movies.
I think the fun thing about arguing about this is that if we were to decide, you know, we should just take a weekend and reevaluate both movies, it'd be like the best weekend ever.
Exactly.
So my last question for you, man, what are you hoping people get out of the podcast?
I mean, I guess the same thing as the game. I hope they can listen to this, and it's kind of the bridge between their baseball love. But fun. I mean, let's have some fun. You know, I want to, like, the polls are gonna be a good time. Comments, you guys comment. We'll talk to stuff. Hopefully, someday we can get something kind of going. We get some calls in or something like that. But just fun. I want to have a good time with everybody and share my love of the game.
Before we go, I'm gonna spring something on you that I didn't prepare you for.
Oh God,
I think we're gonna have our first segment.
Stuff about baseball my dad hates.
Well, let's talk about stuff my dad hates about
yes!
baseball.
It has begun.
And I wanted to, dear dad,
a lot has happened in the world. We've evolved, that's including right. our taste in beer. So our dad got perturbed. We had gone to a game, and Tim and I, it was our turn to buy the beers.
Yes.
And it took us about 15, 20 minutes because the particular brewery at Minute Maid Park that we like is three floors up.
It's only at the Torchy Jacks, guys, for the Eighth Wonder.
To get to the Eighth Wonder. And our dad was so angry that, well, that we didn't have that we didn't just get a Bud Light like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. He says that craft beers, why do they get so crafty with it? Bud Light's fine,
right?
Or something like that. It's,
and I would say to a guy who is more advanced in age than we are, with more limited time on this planet.
Love you, Dad.
Maybe enjoy something more than just Bud Light. So
exactly.
We're gonna have a lot of fun at our dad's expense. We've talked to him already about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's trending? One of the fun segments we're gonna have is our Who's Trending segment. The purpose of this segment is to help you all sort through the Twitter sphere to find some really good follows for good sports information, baseball in particular. For the first episode, we have a couple of Houston guys that are really worth following. First, I highly recommend following Jake Kaplan. Jake is the Astros beat writer on The Athletic, and you can find him at Jake M. Kaplan. We'll definitely tag him on Twitter in this post so you can find him easily. And I definitely recommend The Athletic as a whole. If you haven't discovered The Athletic yet, it really is one of the best resources for sports out there, quickly outpacing some of the older publications. My other recommendation that I highly enjoy following, he's a lot of fun, is Ross Villarreal. Ross is a sports personality on AM 790. You can see him on the 10th Inning Show after Astros games. He's part of the Sean Salisbury Show, the producer of the Matt Thomas Show, the Nightcap. Pretty much anything that 790 needs doing, this guy does. Highly recommend following him at SportsRV. I guess that's it for the first episode.
Awesome. That was fun. It was a good time.
Good time. Next episode's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking to a couple of high school baseball players and then a high school baseball coach from California. He's an A's fan.
Okay.
But came to Minute Maid last year to see the A's and the Stros.
Being an A's fan is just hanging around a lot and just doesn't go away sometimes.
So that's what the A's did to the Astros last year. That's a good.
Yeah.
But by the time we speak next time, we'll be 2 weeks closer to the opening day.
Oh, my.
So thanks so much for joining us on our first episode. Thanks, Andy Bertelsen, for bringing us in and taking us out. And until next time, let's get to. Buy me some potatoes and crack.